Hello, it's Randy Rhodes. Here's a clip from our show, and go to randyrhodes.com for the whole thing and a podcast. Buy a stinking podcast.
Hey! It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhodes Show. Turn up your mind.
A very good Sunday afternoon to you. I'm Richard Liu in New York City. We're going to start this hour with a lot of breaking news. First off, coming out of North Dakota, where there appears to be an apparent victory for those who have been protesting a proposed pipeline. The Secretary of the Army Corps of Engineers telling the Standing Rock Sioux chairman that the current pipeline route will be denied. MSNBC's Cal Perry is at the site of the protest in Cannonball, North Dakota. And Cal, you reported this for us, the breaking news, about 20 minutes ago. If you can, tell us what you know again.
So the easement has been denied by the Army Corps of Engineers. They have called the head of the Standing Rock Sioux tribe, David Archibald II, and given him the news. He is about to announce it to a camp of thousands of people. You will hear roars of celebration. We've already heard sort of word spreading. What does this mean? This is absolutely a historic moment in the relationship between Native Americans and the United States federal government. The pipeline is not going to run under the Missouri River. Our own Tammy Leitner has just spoken to David Archibald II. He has confirmed that the phone call came from the Army Corps of Engineers, and they will now look to do an environmental impact study on the pipeline to figure out where it will end up being routed. But it will no longer run under the Missouri River, and that is what the people who have been at this camp have been asking for. They've been asking for it to be rerouted. I want to remind our viewers, the pipeline was rerouted around Bismarck, North Dakota, and it was rerouted through this tribal area, what is supposed to be a sovereign nation of the Sioux tribe. And that is what started this all many, many months ago. We'll go ahead and pan off. You'll start hearing some of the drum beats. The crowds are sort of forming, and we expect the official announcement from David Archibald II to his people to be made at any moment. But as I said, he's already spoken directly to our Tammy Leitner. He told her that the call came in about an hour ago that the pipeline construction will be halted immediately. This is a major victory for the people who have been here for months.
And now we go to Lock Up Raw, Illinois. That was it. That was the news yesterday. And it was, you know, I mean, we were just flipping channels. And go, what did I just hear? Oh, thank God for DVRs. You could rewind. You could hear it again. But then, you know, MSNBC went to their weekend programming, which is Lock Up Live and Dateline reruns. Yay. Oh, what great programming. Grant Tinker would be so proud. Oh, we lost Grant Tinker over the weekend. Creator of some of the best TV shows ever. Way before this reality swill just gummed up our brains with Donald Trump is really a, you know, a powerful businessman kind of reality BS and whatever the women, the housewives of Orange. You know, the housewives of New York City aren't even housewives anymore. Do you understand that? They're all divorced. Not any of them are house. It's just so, but this is reality TV. But before that, we had Grant Tinker. We had the Mary Tyler Moore Show. We had Hill Street Blues. We had, I mean, just the most amazing television ever. Great late night. You had Johnny Carr. I mean, just really seriously good stuff. And Grant Tinker lived to a nice ripe old age of 90 years old, lived long enough to marry Mary Tyler Moore and divorce her. Wow. But we thank them for some of the most amazing television. So anyway, I digress. The TV sucks now. And when you get breaking news like this Dakota Pipeline, where people, by the way, have been out there since August, I think July or August, in the sweltering heat. Like when we relaunched this show only on the internet, you know, when we pulled away from corporate media and did our own thing, they were already out there protesting. Okay, they were there and it was sweltering because, you know, I don't know if you know this, but North Dakota, which looks like the moon, Minnesota, Wisconsin, they have two seasons. See, in Florida, we have one. It's called summer and it's endless. And then up north there, way up north, like International Falls, Minnesota, the coldest place on earth, you have two seasons there. You get the whole two. What you get there is you get a sweltering, hot, hellish sort of winter, followed by a 110 degree summer. And they were out there during that sweltering heat all throughout the change of season, which happens pretty much overnight. First, it's like 110, then the next day it's snowing. You know, this is what they get. And they have been, camped out on their land. And it is, you know, listen, this is the sad part. I have the press release from from Energy Partners, Energy Transfer Partners. I have their press release, and in their press release, they're insisting that they're playing by the rules, they're following the law, except for one thing: the land that the pipeline was rerouted under does not belong to the United States. It belongs to the Indian reservation. It belongs to the tribe. It belongs to this, you know, the, I hope I say this right. The Oahe. It's O-A-H-E. And I don't know exactly how to pronounce it. I'm sure somebody will tell me. But the Oahe River, the Oahe water, this is what they, that means standing. Okay. That means, you know, a place to stand. Oahe is a place to stand if you translate it from the native Sioux. So, you know, that's why it's called Standing Rock. Anyway, all this stuff to discuss and all this stuff to talk about on the TV on Sunday after this, you know, little report at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then right into lock up Raw, Rikers or whatever it is. I started looking at other channels, and the other channels just wouldn't report. I mean, it was just like, there was nothing. So people like me who wanted to know, we ended up going to Snopes.com to see if it was, you know, a lie, to see if we could debunk it, to see if anybody had debunked it. And it turns out that Snopes.com is now doing real reporting. They're reporting the news because no one else will. It's just, it's so amazing to me. And what was on CNN? Listen, that Oakland fire, it was a disaster waiting to happen. Okay, you got 36 bodies so far. They can't, the cadaver dogs are still going through the building. The building is so unstable that they can't even put the firemen in it. And all this was a low, I don't even want to call it low income, because that suggests that it was a reasonable place to rent from. It was a warehouse that a couple owned, and they were renting out space. They called it a mixed use building. No, it was just a ramshackle building that had no permits for anything, and they decided to use it for everything. So they had Saturday night raves there. They had artists living there. And because of the gentrification of San Francisco by the math doers, it's the evil math doers, you know. It's the Silicon Valley geniuses that are propping up the prices for all these houses. And, you know, people, you know, are just fleeing, and they're looking for places to live, and they are finding these warehouses. And of the warehouses that are available to live in, this one was notably one of the worst. People in the neighborhood knew it. They were calling the police many times. One woman who, you know, I mean, all this coverage, one woman who was actually living in that warehouse, she said she had called the police 3-4 times, and that the police had come and escorted her out of her apartment, her warehouse, squalor. They told her she had to leave, and when they came in, she was saying, but listen, we don't even have electricity here. We have intermittent heat. We have intermittent electricity. This whole thing, the transformer blew up, and you got hot plates everywhere and electrical wire. I mean, it was a horrible thing. But that was the only story. That was the only story. It was like the Sago mine disaster. Wilbur Ross's Sago mine, our new commerce secretary, we think, his Sago mine disaster, you know, where he, you know, rips off the pensions of the workers, lowers their salary, and then foregoes things like safety, you know, and so that, you know, things happen. 208 safety violations in that Sago mine before the freaking thing, imploded. And we lost all those miners. But see, this is why, for you libertarian knuckleheads, this is why you need government. This is why you need regulation. This is why you need inspection and permits. So now we go back to Standing Rock. Okay, what was the point of contention? Well, for the tribe of Standing Rock, obviously, it's clear that the land, their land, was not respected. They did not want this pipeline, and Energy Transfer Partners decided, too bad for you, we're building the pipeline anyway. Now, I told you, they were one permit short. And this company felt so emboldened by their size, just going to whip out their size and, you know, wipe things off of the Midwest is what they do, no matter what industry they're in. Wilbur Ross did it all over the Midwest, you know, with the oil and the with the steel. and the housing out west. That was Mnuchin, who needs a vowel movement so bad. This is why he's so constipated. Needs a vowel movement. MN. Really? This is America. Get a vowel. Buy a vowel, you freaking billionaire. So they were very specific, the tribe was. They did not want this pipeline to run under their water, period. They did not want it. They were clear about it. And this company decided that they would be reckless and go ahead and invest all this money and build this pipeline without the permit. So whose fault is that? It's not the people whose land you're violating's fault. It's your fault as a company. But you know, they felt so emboldened by their size that they just said, oh, screw it. We'll get the permit, come hell or high water. We'll get it. It doesn't matter. And you know, they created this dilemma for themselves because they acted in this reckless manner. They didn't have all the paperwork, and yet they continued to build. So what the Standing Rock Sioux and all the other tribes that have gone out to support them, and 2,000 veterans made up of Wesley Clark Jr. Yes, Wesley Clark, the former Allied Supreme Commander of NATO, which is such a Star Wars title. You know, it's just, it doesn't even seem real, that title. I mean, we do go overboard, don't we? Scrambled eggs on the top of the, you know. Got to have the scrambled eggs, got to have the ribbons across, all the ribbons, the ribbonage. Got to have sometimes, I don't know if you remember William Rehnquist from the Supreme Court, but when he was going to preside over the trial in the Senate of William Jefferson Clinton, he decided to decorate his robe. Don't you remember? That was the gayest thing ever. That's more gay than Wilbur Ross's, velvet slippers that he wears. You know Wilbur Ross wears velvet slippers, right? Oh, it's just so sick. He wears baby blue and pink ties and, green and purple and red velvet slippers. Oh, it's just, they're really quite unique people. However, this was not the tribe's fault, and yet they were the ones who were punished, and they were treated as if they were terrorists. They had water cannons, rubber bullets, microwave technology used against them. Oh, yes, microwave weapons that when you point this weapon at people, it makes their innards feel like they're frying. This is the way you treat terrorists, the sound weapons with the very loud noises, trying to force them out. During this whole peaceful protest, they were armed with what? Sage and their spirit and their sacred fire? Seriously, people, get a grip. This was unbelievable. So now the company made all these really bad decisions and they're facing the consequences, and they put out a press release saying, we're going to just plow through anyway. We're just going to do it. We just don't care. And you know what's really crazy? I mean, I wanted to take a moment to celebrate on Sunday. I took to my Facebook and my Twitter and I tweeted out the news because I kind of knew no one's going to be able to find this. Because the only, cable station that, was reporting it had gone off the air in favor of Lock Up Raw reruns. So, I got to learn to live in a world without news, apparently. Oh, speaking of that, let me just throw this in for a brief moment. People, when I go into those right-wing chat rooms to watch the Trump, fuck you tour, which is what it is. It's not a thank you tour. He just keeps going out there and going, we won, we won, you lost, we won, you lost, And then he says, I'm going to lay out my plan, which is why I have to watch it, just in case he tells you something meaningful, but he never does. So anyway, I'm stuck in this white right-wing chat room all the time, watching him go to, Cincinnati and watching him go to, wherever the Iowa, he's going to go. Pennsylvania, all these, stinking places that, Wilbur Ross decimated with his acquisition of all the steel companies and then taking all the pensions and cashing them out for his own benefit and then, lowering the salary and then firing everybody and then eventually moving it all overseas or, consolidating it and selling it for a profit. I mean, this is what he does. So, but he wears velvet slippers while he's doing it. So Palm Beach just loves him. But they kept calling me a pedophile in there. Which is so I couldn't even imagine. I just thought, well, they love to hurl insults. They'll tell you you're ugly. They'll tell you you're fat, even if they're ugly and they're fat. It's like whatever they hate about themselves, they'll say, that's what you are. I may be a lot of things, but I'm not ugly and I'm not fat. So, find something else. I just don't care. And some of them are researching me, and it's so freaking interesting. It's just what they think they know about you. It's just amazing. One said to me, "You were never an aircraft mechanic. You went AWOL." No, I never went AWOL. And yes, I was an aircraft mechanic. And I don't know why that's offensive to you. I have no idea. But anyway, so they insult you any way they can. And so one of the things that they were saying is that you're a pedophile. And I would say, I don't ask them anything. I just, you know, they'll say, you have a flat ass, you're fat, you're ugly, blah, blah, blah. And I'll go, no, I have a really cute ass, but Goldman Sachs owns yours now. Why don't you know this? And, you know, you start to, and then they go, oh, shut up, you pedophile. I'm like, why are they calling me a pedophile? I swear to God, I really didn't get that one. Turns out over the weekend, some crazy guy from North Carolina went to a ping pong place in Washington, D.C., in northwestern Washington, which is where we used to live, me and Howard. And it's called Comet Pizza. And it's a pizza place with ping pong. The pizza's okay. The ping pong's awesome. That's, you know, that's what you do for fun. So anyway, some guy from North Carolina went in there with an AK, an AR-15. Getting my assault rifles mixed up. It's only Monday. He had an AK, an AR-15, and a Colt 38 shotgun, and he went into this pizza place, and he pointed his weapon. He shot his weapon, and he wanted to go to the back of the pizza place to see the tunnels. What freaking? Where do you think you're in Syria? Where do you think you are? Or Mexico? He wants to see the tunnels. So they knew what it was because the people who own this place had already called the police and the FBI many, many times. Turns out the right-wing news feeds have some fake news article about Comet Pizza and Ping Pong being transfer point for young kids who are being trafficked into pedophilia by John Podesta and Hillary Clinton. Now, this seems stupid to you and me because we actually read Washington Post, New York Times, The Atlantic, you know, like real news, whatever, right? We don't use, you know, Twitter feeds because then we would be reading, you know, how upset Donald Trump is over Alec Baldwin's impersonation of him. Classy. What a guy. But this guy went in with his semi-automatic and shot the place. He didn't shoot it up, but he shot a couple of rounds and was arrested, but he was looking for the pedophile tunnels.
Clear for takeoff.
Randy Rhodes Air Force.
Air Force.
RandyRhodes.com.
Go to RandyRhodes.com for the whole thing and a podcast. Buy a stinking podcast.